TheDigitalLifestyle.com presents The Media Centre Show, Show 120, Wednesday, 22nd of August 27th. Networks. I'm Ian Dixon, and this week the show is out a day early as I'm working away, but I've got a great show coming up for you. I'm going to be talking to another Microsoft MVP, Media Centre developer, Andrew Cherry, and he joined me up in the office in Manchester to talk about his Media Centre development work, including his interesting new application called TV Library, which kind of extends the functionality of Media Centre's TV functions to include a library so you can browse by series and whatever you want. So really, it's a really nice application, and he's going to be telling us all about that. And he's also going to be telling us about his community development work that he does on the Media Centre Sandbox forums. I have email, update on email from last week, and news items. First, to an update on an email I read out last week from David Cozy, and we talked about extenders and how he wanted kind of software extender, and we talked about how to use a second PC to watch recorded TV, and he sent me an update and said, "Hi Ian, thanks for the feedback and suggestions. I got it to work," and he's talking about sharing recorded TV there, "but I had to log into the recorded TV directory before launching Media Centre. Not sure how exactly to set it up to have it log in automatically. Any suggestions?" "I noticed there is a lag when it comes to skipping ahead with the television programme. There is less of this on an extender, or at least on the Xbox. By the way, you asked what programs you'd like to see for Media Centre, and I have to say, software that makes an existing computer into an extender, I thought this would be a no-brainer. Thanks and keep up the good work, David." Thanks for the update, David. The problem about sharing recorded TV between the two devices and having to log in first, I don't get that problem. And the way I got around this, and other people may have done it differently, is I set a map drive up to the main Media Centre PC, and including there are the permissions. I tick the box for it to reconnect on login as well, and I never get that. And Media Centre recognises all the recordings, and the thumbnails are there and everything else, and don't have to log in before I start using Media Centre. So have a look at that. As for you mentioned about lag, I think there probably is a slight bit of lag, although I don't use that as much as I use my 360 as the extender, so it's difficult to say. And we'd all love to see software extenders, maybe one day, but don't hold your breath. Anyway, thanks for the update. Declan Collins emailed into the show, ian@digitallifestyle.com, and asked, "I have a self-built Media Centre PC for a couple of years now, and I'm looking to do an upgrade. I could self-build again, but I would like to see what OEM options there are. I'd like to ask the European listeners of the show what OEM systems have they experienced with, and what recommendations would they make? Thanks, Declan." That would be interesting to hear that. I've built my own. I know that people have bought them, and there's a whole range of OEMs out there, and it would be good to hear different people's experiences, good or bad, with the OEMs, not just European listeners, anyone really. So any thoughts or suggestions or experiences you want to let us know, and let Declan know, ian@thedigitallifestyle.com, and I'll get those included in a future show. And finally, the email from Delos Dunn. He says, "Hi, I use Vista Ultimate Media Centre PC with home audio and video distribution system, as well as having it connected concurrently to my home theatre. I do not need Media Centre to play different sources from the HTPC concurrently, DVDs and WMAs at the same time. I just want to have stereo analog output concurrently with digital multi-channel audio. I need the stereo for the zones in our home, but I would like to have the multi-channel for the home theatre. It seems that Vista does not do this at this time, and may not ever. It's very cumbersome to switch from stereo to digital, and it's not something I can expect my wife to do when she chooses to go to the home theatre and watch a DVD. My question is, if you use an extender like the Xbox 360, would I be able to then have one playing digital multi-channel audio and stereo, meaning the HTPC, outputting one and the extended the other. If the Xbox 360 can play DVDs from the HTPC Sony changer, then and output multi-channel audio while the HTPC is outputting stereo, this would solve my problems and be a nice addition so I could play games as well. And does the 360 as an extender do all of the same things as Media Center do, such as WMAs, pictures, videos, and DVDs from the Sony changer? Thanks so much. Sorry the email is long. Enjoy what you're doing with the show. Keep up the good work. Delos. Thanks for the email, and it is quite detailed what you're asking there, but I can sort of guide you into my experiences. The first one on there about currently outputting analog and digital. As my Media Center PC is connected analog to some speakers, and I use the 360 as an extender, which is connected optically to the receiver and connected to the TV via stereo. So that means that on my Media Center PC, I can be watching a DVD, listening to music, playing a game, whatever I want, and on the extender, I can be watching TV, streaming, audio, again, whatever I want, and the outputs then go to the right places. So the sound from the PC comes to the PC speakers, and the Xbox 360 outputs to the receiver and the TV, and both at the same time, actually. Now, I've never thought about this, that if you've got digital output that, and you're using that, then you only get digital output through the digital source and it turns off the stereo. And I've not come across this, but I don't have an AV receiver directly connected to the PC, apart from over the weekend when I was testing out Sony's XL301, which more of that on a video soon. I did notice that when I plugged the optical connection in, it turned the sound off via the HDMI. So maybe that's what you're saying. So to answer your question, yes, you can use the Xbox 360 to do everything you want it to do while the PC is doing something else. One thing you can't do is stream DVDs from the Sony changer down to the Xbox 360. I know a lot of people have asked for functionality like that. You can't do that. What you can do is convert the DVDs to WMVs, and you can stream those. And that's in fact what I do. A lot of the kids' films, I've used a program called DVD to WMV, and it takes the DVD and converts it into a WMV file that you can then stream on the Xbox 360, and it reduces the size quite a bit as well. It's pretty good, actually. I do like that program. Of course, there's the legal issues about doing the backups of your DVDs, but it does work for me. So hopefully that answers your questions. If any listeners have got any experience of this issue with audio being one or the other and not analog and going out digital at the same time, I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on that. The email address for the show is ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. Please keep the email coming, and I do like reading them out. And this week, I put out a video review of the Sony UX1 UMPC. Now, not particularly Media Center related. Regular listeners will know I do like my UMPCs, and I use the Samsung Q1 a lot, and about recording the intro of the show on there now. And I enjoyed testing out the UX1, actually. It's a 4.5-inch VGA screen running Windows Vista Business Edition, so no Media Center on it, although I did manage to get recorded TV playing on there with no major issues, and I could do that over the network or directly because there was a DVD decoder installed and you could watch it through Windows Media Player. So it was a nice device. I must admit the screen size I thought was a little bit too small for me. Anyway, watch the video and you'll see what I mean. I showed some of the features off on there. And I have got another video out soon, actually, on Sony's XL301 Blu-ray PC, which I was quite impressed with, and I got some video of that, and I managed to rent a Blu-ray disc and tried that. That was pretty good, actually, a nice Media Center PC. In fact, talking of Blu-ray, I posted on my blog about my experiences with Blu-ray, the fact that I could go into a Blockbuster and rent a Blu-ray and there was no HD DVD there, and does that mean that the kind of format war's over? And I got some great comments on the blogs about that. As we've been talking about it this week, Paramount have announced they're dropping support for Blu-ray and going exclusively HD DVD, so I think that throws it wide open. But my only thoughts really on that were, if the average consumer is going to think of to get a HD DVD or a Blu-ray and they walk into Blockbuster, which here in the UK have got stores everywhere, and you're going to choose a HD DVD, you know, if there aren't any of the HD DVD format, they're only Blu-ray, and that's going to be a real issue for the HD DVD camp. Whereas I went to my local Asda store, which is part of Walmart, and they had a good selection of both. And I noticed that the HD DVD ones were slightly cheaper as well. So, again, wait to see my sort of conclusions up on the video. But as far as I'm concerned, at the moment, there's no clear winner, and I won't be upgrading just yet. If there was rentals available of a HD DVD, and then I'd be very tempted to get the drive for the Xbox 360 because, as I mentioned before, I use that as my main device. There's no way I would buy a standalone player in either format, but definitely a £100 device for the Xbox 360. You know, I'm interested. So interested to see how that goes on, and I'll include a link to the original blog post, and you can read the comments on there as well. Interested to hear your thoughts on that. Are you going to be upgrading? Are you going to go Blu-ray, HD, DVD? Let me know what you think, and I'll post the video up maybe a week or so, something like that. Some other news items. This one from Chris Lanier's blog. S1 Digital has become a Microsoft Direct OEM. What that means is that they can offer cable car PCs, and only the larger OEMs are able to ship their own cable car devices, which is great news for S1 Digital because they'll be able to offer cable car boxes their own design. And they have some great media center servers, and a link in the show notes to their website. There is really nice media center equipment, and we're going to try and get S1 Digital back on the show in the future. MC Dev have updated TV Toolbox. It's Beta 2 that's out. Have a look at the link in the show notes to see what's changed in Beta 2. But the TV Toolbox is a 10-foot application for editing and converting recorded TV files directly from Media Center. So you don't have to leave Media Center mode to do the editing. So it's a nice looking application, and have a look at the link in the show notes on that. Another item I was going to mention was about availability of Windows Home Server, and some were saying August 27th, and New Zealand seemed to have got it already. All I can say is you keep watching the Windows Home Server blog, and they've got some sort of dates and announcements on there. I think it's coming soon, and keep an eye on the blog for that. And talking about Windows Home Server, there was a great post on the Windows Home Server blog about how to resize a partition using Windows Home Server. So, of course, you get the situation where you've got, say, your media center PC with, so let's say you've got a 50 gig drive with 225 and split with 225 gig partitions, and you fill the 25 gig partition and you want to take some of the other one. In other words, different applications you can use to resize the partitions. I've used Partition Magic in the past. But of course, with Windows Home Server, you could actually zap the whole thing, resize the partition, and just restore the PC. So interesting to see how they did that. And they was actually doing that on a Mac with Windows Vista and Bootcamp. So have a look at that link for that in the show notes. Right, time for a message from One Voice now. And don't forget, you can get a free trial of Media Center Communicator from the digitallifestyle.com downloads, along with other downloads on there, including Media Center Backup. I'll be back with Andrew Cherry.
Introducing Media Center Communicator, the perfect complement for Windows Media Center. Imagine walking into your home and simply speaking to play music, watch TV, read and send email, call to order pizza, and more. Now with Media Center Communicator, you have full control of your digital home using only your voice. And best of all, there is no voice training required. And built on OneVoice's Media Center Communicator, MCEach Speech Tools is a powerful speech recognition toolkit allowing developers of Media Center compatible applications to easily incorporate speech recognition commands as features. OneVoice offers licenses for MCE Speech Tools along with its Media Center Communicator to the rapidly growing community of Media Center developers. Just say it to play it. To learn more, go to www.onev.com.
Well, Andrew, welcome to the Media Center Show.
Thanks for inviting me.
And we're going to be talking today about your application, More TV.
Well, the More TV was the name we used for the Media Center 2005 version. I'm not 100% sure yet for Vista, but then the working title is TV Library.
So before we get into talking about the application, which is a great application, and we're here in the office in Manchester today, so you just gave me a brief demo, which was great. It looks like it solves a lot of problems that I'm doing. But before we dive into that, first, how did you get into Media Center development? Because it's such a specialist thing. There's not a lot of people like you out there.
Yes, that's true. When anyone ever asks me, I always say that you can probably count the number of independent media centre developers on the fingers of one hand, with a couple left over. it's an unusual business to get into. When Media Centre, 2005 came out originally, I decided that I could see an opportunity to make media centres and sell them into the UK marketplace, and spent a year working in that business, selling media centres to, let's call it the high net worth clients in the UK. As part of that, recognised that there was a need to develop applications that made those media centres unique and worth the money people were paying for them, and so started writing media centre apps for that. I'd previously done development. I've spent all of my career at working in the IT industry, some of it programming and some of it in IT management, and decided using my application development skills to start writing some add-ons for our platform for Media Centre 2005, to allow us to sell those with the systems as the added value of buying systems from us.
Right, so you took like your custom installers and your AV sort of installers, and you wanted to add some value to those applications.
Yeah, so to provide them something that they couldn't get anywhere else. Mm. And that's where the original More TV, or as it was called right at the beginning, Saved TV, came from, as an application that we could see for people that really wanted to have something that allowed them to share their TV across multiple media centres, or to organise it in a way that was more than Media Centre provided.
And when you first started out then, that would have been with HTML applications?
Yes, at the time, yeah, it was they were HTML applications, and a very delightful application development environment it was.
Yeah, so what kind of tools would you use to develop HTML applications for Media Centre?
Well, it was something where I felt that really needed to do something better than the SDK that was provided by Microsoft for the HTML applications at the time. So I actually took about a month or so to rewrite the application development environment, still HTML, CSS, and all the technologies Microsoft used, but with an SDK backed up with a whole bunch of libraries written in C# that would allow you to create your pages in an object fashion, add buttons, add labels, all the things that you expect in a Media Centre application, but add them in as C# objects and then generate the HTML from that. So rather than having to worry about how to lay pages out or how the buttons all interacted with each other when writing the applications, you could just focus on the actual delivery of the application logic for the application you're writing.
Right, so you didn't have to put a button on, you didn't have to work where the tags were going and make sure you've got the scripts and everything tied up. You've already pre-done that, and then you could sort of deploy that in your new application.
All the applications included a version of the SDK with them, and as new things came along, they were added to the SDK, and any issues that were found, they could be modified and the SDK backported onto those applications. So immediately, because all the logic for those was in one place, immediately the applications could be updated and fixed, sometimes even before there was any obvious need to.
Yeah. And then, when was that application done? And that was the More TV application?
The Save TV application, gosh. That was... I lose track of time now. There was some time in early 2006, I guess. It was in fact late September 2005 onwards, sometime around there. And it was an application that I started with that business. We decided to fold that business there would have been far too much investment needed to really make it go. And I think you can see from some of the more high profile people that pulled out of the Media Centre box making in the UK and elsewhere, that it really is something that if you haven't got a serious amount of money to invest, it's probably unwise to do so. So moved from there into full-time development in Media Centre, and Save TV morphed over time into More TV, which was, let's call it, version 2. Mm. That was the idea was it took the good things of Save TV, but improved on the methods of caching the information to make the screens faster, to improve the overall user experience, and to be sold as a standalone application.
And the original More TV, then, did you make that sort of freely available, or was that a sort of paid download?
Well, obviously, one of these things, you know, when you're doing development for a living, you have to make commercial applications. And More TV was something that I decided early on, and was very open with all the beta testers, that it was going to be a commercial application. And so that went on sale through KMS Internet, under the MediaCenterWare.com website, along with a number of their other applications, Sudoku, World Trivia, and so on. So it was an application through their portfolio, rather than me trying to sell it as an independent. I decided that a company that was already established in the Media Center marketplace and had an online spotlight place at the time was a good place to go through.
I mean, that's always the trouble, isn't it, with writing the applications. We were discussing before we recorded that there's an expectancy, and there are a lot of, because there are a lot of free applications out for a platform like Media Center, and there's a great deal of expectancy for people to get free stuff, and you can get good free stuff, but yet then that doesn't mean that the developers haven't really got the time to spend refining these applications, because you've got to do real paid work.
Yeah, it's tough. Trying to, you know, when I started working on TV Library, there was a long lull between More TV and TV Library, because I didn't really want to start working on something that I wasn't going to make anything off. More TV, and it sounds, when I say it out loud, it sounds fairly, money-grabbing, but, you need to make the money in order to pay the mortgage and feed your kids.
There's got to be some kind of cycle, isn't there? You know, you develop something and then you get some rewards from it, whether it be money or... other
fame.
Things, yeah, fame, yeah. So, which, but I suppose working developing media server applications is not probably the quickest way to instant fame.
Not really.
So moving on, what we're going to be talking about today is the Vista version, and I guess this is your version 3 product of this and of TV Library. Now, the demo you've just gave me then just really does solve the problems that I'm having with sort of recorded TV. So it gives us an outline of what the program does.
Okay. The idea of TV Library is it stems from, certainly in my house, we have a media center in the living room, and I get really fed up of trying to work out what I've watched, what I haven't, and to organize things in recorded TV. So the idea of TV Library is it's a secondary location for being able to store your recorded TV programs and any other media that is viewable as a video under Media Center, in a structure that you can define yourself. So it allows you to, as well as accepting folders from any location, whether they're local to the machine or on a network share or another PC, they can be the folder structure can be set so that you can have as many levels nested as you want. So you can have, for example, my structure, and you'll see it if you see the screenshots on the green button. I have TV shows, and under TV shows, I have all of the TV shows that we watch, and under those, some of them have season 1, season 2, so you can see which seasons the particular shows are in, and others have things like Doctor Who. I've got the classic series in one folder, and then the new ones in another one with series 1, 2, and 3 of the new series. So you can structure them any way you like, and with minimal effort have something you can navigate through to view your TV shows and your other media.
And what I liked about it was the presentation of it, in so much it looks, as we've discussed on previous shows about the third-party application, it looks part of Media Center, which I'm in favour of. You know, I think it should. We'll come back to that. That's another argument, perhaps, but we'll come back to that. But you've got your view. So you had your saved TV and your different folders, and then say that the Doctor Who, you had the Doctor Who folder, and then in there you had the classic series, series 1, series 2. But the icon, the thumbnail that represented those was one that was applicable. So the classic series had the old logo, and series 1 had Christopher Eccleston and David Tennant on series 2, and so that means that, you know, it's a very visual way of finding the data. And we were just discussing before, and I was catching up on sort of old episodes of Rome, and while plowing through that, because I know it was a few weeks ago, there's also, you know, 10 episodes of Power Rangers which are recorded for the kids. So this would work for me, was that I'd have a kids folder, and then in there there would be, say, Power Rangers with an eye, with this thumbnail, and in there I could have Power Rangers Mystic Force and all the, anyone with kids will know what I'm talking about, but you've got all these separate folders so that they would be able to identify that by the thumbnail as well. So it's not just like a browser, it's a proper media center way of doing it.
And certainly you've hit the nail on the head there. I guess it sounds like your kids are a bit older than mine. My daughter, she can use the application and navigate through to find her TV stuff. It's all things like the Save-ems and things like that, rather than the Power Rangers. She hasn't graduated to that kind of stuff yet.
Well, five-year-old boys, that's Power Rangers, right. Spider-Man, you know. But like you said, it's being able to operate like that. It's visual. And I know she also has some metadata on there, so you sort of the example your Doctor Who you showed me as well.
Yeah, I mean, basically the way I've designed it, it's the idea is the more effort you want to put into it, the richer the interface will become. So just by storing your files in the folders, if they have embedded metadata, so they're either recorded TV, DVRMS files, or they're WMV files, the metadata will be displayed. For folders, you can put in the images by using a folder.jpg, and that will display the thumbnail or whatever the picture is. You know, I think it's 200 by 150. It'll display it on the screen instead of the folder image. If you have a file that you don't want to use the thumbnail that's in the file, you can make another file, which is a JPEG with the same name as the actual video file, and that will be used as a representation instead. For folders, if you want extra metadata to give some information about what the folder contains, you put a file called folderdetails.ini, and that will contain some lines that say what the folder should be described as. So the more effort you put into defining it, the more that you'll get out of it, you know, the richer it becomes.
That was you showed on the example. So you said Doctor Who Series 1, Christopher Eccleston's, you know, it lists what's in there. But it's interesting you mentioned about doing the sort of the override on the single video files. So you could have a WMV file which you converted from a movie DVD, and it's got that's probably not representative of the image that defaults. So you could then override that and put, if it's a movie, you could put the movie thing, or it's a TV film.
That actually comes onto a good link in. There are a number of different views you can have. You can have the two that are in there at the moment are the standard, let's call it the recorded TV style view, which is a single row of icons with the descriptions underneath. There's also another view that you can set, and in the same file that you describe what a folder is, you can also say which view type you want to use. So if the other type is DVD cover. So instead of looking like recorded TV, it looks more like the DVD library.
Right.
And you can have those folders shown there. A third one, which I haven't coded up yet but intend to, is a list view, like Media Center 2005. Because one of the things that I see often on websites and the green button and so on is people saying, I want a list view back like I had in Media Center 2005 in Vista. So hopefully this will help towards that. It'll provide them a list view where they can just see the titles of the shows or the episodes, depending on what level they're at.
And how do you then manage this data? So, you know, you've got to create your folders and you've got to move the files in there and the metadata. How do you then envisage sort of users coping with that?
It depends on how frequently they change stuff. I mean, for example, the initial setup is a little painful, going onto your media center, going into Explorer and moving files into the folders you want them in. But once you're there, you've got everything for the stuff you've done already. If you want to put new stuff in, the original version of More TV, that had a tool in it that allowed you to move things from recorded TV over. But it seems to be that there are so many people that are using other formats to encode to. So they encode to DivX or WMV rather than leaving things in the original format, or if they're downloading stuff off the net somewhere. They don't necessarily follow that process. And there are so many different ways of doing it, some automated, some not. I've decided to leave that out of the TV library. An example might be there is a program called Recorded TV Manager. And you could use Recorded TV Manager. My understanding of it is you could use Recorded TV Manager to do whatever you want to do with the particular show and put it into a folder, and that is a 2-foot application, and then use TV Library as your 10-foot viewing tool to actually view the stuff afterwards.
Yeah, that makes sense. I suppose you could use MSDVR Toolbox as well. You can have the commercials cut out of it, compress it, whatever you decide to do, put it in the right folder, and then you've got your 10-foot
viewing on top of that.
That makes sense. I mean, some people will want to do it manually as well and create the folders themselves. So, and what about sort of doing the metadata? Is there any plans to do sort of an editor of that? So if you want to create your folder, any file or whatever.
It's certainly something that I want to do. That starts adding a level of complexity, because there are essentially three types of metadata you can have. There's the metadata from Recorded TV files, metadata from WMV files, both of which is stored in the file itself, and then there's a third type, which is for files that don't support their own metadata. I have an XML format that I use for storing that metadata. There are a number of people who have said they will write applications to translate the metadata from other sources into that format. Again, you can see that on some of the threads on the green button. And I've also modified the code so that the formats used by MyMovies will also be usable. So if you've got the MyMovies XML file, then you can use that to load the metadata into TV Library.
That makes sense. So there's really what you're concentrating on this release is the core Media Center user interface experience, which is probably the most difficult part of it anyway.
Well, I mean, Media Center markup language, the language it's written in, a lot of people find it difficult. But when you've been doing it for a long time and doing it as your day job, it is actually, I find it a lot easier doing that than doing the stuff where, for example, screen scraping stuff off websites to get the metadata. I find those bits difficult because they're more unpredictable. Whereas the actual UI development stuff is fairly predictable, and having built up a library of code to generate those kind of things becomes a lot easier to do.
So you've done something similar, have you, than you did with the HTML applications? You've got your own sort of library of Media Center markup language applications.
Yeah, the way that the Media Center markup language works lends itself well to that. You can create your user interface in small components, everything from a button upwards. And those can then be reused in different programs. The way I tend to do it is I reuse the source code rather than trying to create reusable libraries because of the versioning issues you get around that. But yeah, reusing the code certainly is something that makes life easier, and having that library in place.
And for the non-developers that are listening and who are particularly into application, what does that mean? That this application is Media Center Markup Language for Vista, and the previous was HTML. To an end user, what's the difference?
The most important one is I think that Microsoft's term for it is the visual fidelity. If you're using a Media Center extender, extenders didn't natively render the HTML applications, and basically took the equivalent, and this is simplifying it a bit, but basically took the equivalent of a screenshot every, three or four every second. The way the MCML applications work is they're actually rendered by the extender, in this case an Xbox 360, and the rendering is done so all the graphics and animation is done on the extender rather than on the client, the server, Media Center PC. So you should see they look much prettier.
When you're in Media Center mode, be it on extender or on a PC, it looks like it's all part of Media Center functionality and not a HTML, which is kind of a static way of looking at it, isn't it?
Yeah, and everything slides into place. The screens move in a Media Center-like way. I've not put as much animation into it yet as it will have in the final version, but things move smoothly from one place to another rather than as they did with HTML, which was fairly much everything jumped from one place to another.
Yeah, and it does look an integrated part of Media Center, and that comes back to what we mentioned earlier, that this if when you're in that application, it just looks like a part of Media Center, and it looks like that Media Center, that functionality has always been there.
Yeah.
So where do you think you stand in sort of on the question of developers should create applications to look like part of Media Center versus developers should create applications with their own style of user interface and not look like an existing part of Media Center?
It really is a tough one. I can understand why the Media Center team in Microsoft would prefer people to create their own branding and to have their own identity in their applications. And certainly the big players like Fox, the BBC and so on, do have their own branding and identity in their applications. The issue comes when you're writing add-ons that aren't self-contained. So they are, let's call it, say, augmenting functionality in Media Center, where people will expect them to look like Media Center and don't want to learn a completely new interface. I have to say that the reason that mine look more like Media Center than anything else is more due to a lack of imagination and graphic skills on my part than it is due to any strong desire to have it looking very much like Media Center. Although, you know, as I say, I think that having it in that look makes it a lot easier for people to understand and follow and know where things are.
Yeah, because that was what I was just going to say, is that, you know, I'm going to be installing this application and family are going to be using it, and at the moment they're just going to recorded TV and instead they'll go into the TV library and they'll just pick Power Rangers and watch it, and I won't have to go through a particular training exercise it won't look like a separate application, because I think that's what the issue of having a separate branding looks like, is that you're going into a user experience. You mentioned Fox and BBC, I can understand that, but an application like this, it's part of Media Center, and it just looks like it's all there and it's very slick and goes into it. So I think, to me, the way you've done it is right, but I guess also there's a lot of work to be done developing these applications and spending X amount of time on colours and working out what colours look nice and logos and things like that. It's time that you're not going to be spending on the functionality of the application for a single developer. Like
And certainly I guess the biggest thing that makes everyone use blue as a colour is, with an MCML application, if you leave the background transparent, you get the Media Center background. So, you know, as a starting point, it's driving you down a particular route anyway. If the background was black or something like that, then maybe more people would have an incentive to do something differently. But if you're already starting from a blue colour scheme, then there's not really much further you can go anyway.
To me, that makes sense. But I think it's certainly one of the applications where it's kind of two types of Media Center applications. They've got a lot of functionality in there, but you think, well, no one else is going to use this. But I can see this being used by anyone. I would just show the family, well, if you wanted to, you know, if you don't want just a flat view of everything and you want to see things through the folders, and this is how you do it. And people are used to kind of the idea of folders in other applications, and even Media Center, you can tag your photo so you get it in that kind of folder view. So I suppose it's something, it's almost similar to that, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's certainly something that you mentioned as something that almost anyone would want to use. That was certainly where I was with MoreTV, and thought, you know, this is going to be the place where I'm going to make my millions. It's surprising, though, as you say, you know, we come back to, I had about 400 people on the beta for the MoreTV application, and sold less than, I think it was just around 100 copies of the application through KMS. And the same comes with this. It is sometimes a struggle to know how much investment to put into the application, and whether or not there's going to be any money coming back from it.
Mm. And so what's the availability of this application?
At the moment, you can download the beta for free. Hopefully that'll increase the number of downloads. And it's available at my website. You can get the information of where that is. I guess we can put it on your website at the end of the show. And also from the threads on the green button. You can post feature requests as well on the threads on the green button. There's a thread that's titled More TV Feature Requests. As you can see, when I started that particular thread, I really wasn't sure what to call it. Anyone's got any good ideas, they're more than welcome to put them down. I am still looking at the potential of doing it as a commercial application. It won't be hugely expensive if I do. I need to find an outlet for that is suitable for the Media Center environment.
Well, I mean, that's fair enough, but it's great that you're offering it as a as a sort of beta for free, and then users have got the input in there. I mean, there can't be that many applications, certainly in sort of the commercial application world, where we kind of get that interactivity with the developer. Yeah. I mean, a lot of applications have got, you know, there you go, you know, that's how it is.
Yes, we'll develop it in secret and hope everyone likes it at the end.
Yeah, exactly. But to get some of the interaction in there with the developer is really good.
Yeah. Well, again, it comes back to the reason that I do this stuff. Yes, it's a job, but as well, it's my passion. It's something I really enjoy doing and get a great kick out of. So, doing stuff, sitting in a cupboard and writing stuff and not knowing whether people are going to like it until the end, really, it does... doesn't give you the buzz that you're really looking for.
You also don't just do that. You're also pretty active on the Media Center Sandbox, the developer forum for Media Center.
Yeah, it's something that, doing that kind of thing, it makes you feel good about what you're doing. I try and provide help to people that are developing with Media Center. My area is particularly Media Center markup language, so whenever any questions come in on that, if I can answer them, and if it's something I can do within the time I have available, then I try as much as I can to help people out, whether that's providing them some ideas about how to move forward, fixing code that they've got, or writing examples that they can use to move on their understanding. Then I do that kind of stuff as much as I can.
And also, we didn't mention it in the intro, but you're an MVP as well, aren't you?
Yes, I got my MVP 1st of July, which I was very chuffed about.
And that was through the developer sort of support that you've been doing?
Yes, it was for the contribution to the Media Center development community.
I mean, it's a very specialist area, isn't it? And there aren't a lot of people able to offer you a huge... I mean, for example, if you're a VB developer and you get stuck with a particular thing on... threading, you can Google threading and VB and find hundreds of results, but something like Media Center Markup Language, there's not a huge amount of information out there.
Not at all, and that does make things tough. It gets to a point sometimes where, for example, on the Media Center Sandbox website, you'll post a question. Like, one of my questions was, which parts of the Media Center API are safe for multi-threading, or thread safe, as they call it. So which bits can you use in multiple threads at the same time without having to worry about your own locking mechanisms? And the answer was like a tumbleweed going across the road in some kind of Western. And there's just a lot of stuff, because it's so new, people don't know. And stuff that doesn't necessarily perform as you would expect it to, or that people have various opinions on how best to do things. And it really is, I suppose, the Wild West is a fairly apt thing for analogy for it, that it really is out there on the Wild West with a new environment for people to learn and experiment with.
And also, I suppose, that you're kind of pushing the boundaries, aren't you? That you know, you're doing stuff that, in some cases, no one's tried before outside of Microsoft, and even inside of Microsoft, where they've kind of used this technology before, but they've never sort of thrown it open to the public.
Yeah, and they, even with the benefit of all the documentation, the manuals, and the people that wrote the stuff, you look at how the development cycle for this kind of stuff, and it's long and it's tough, and bugs are having to be ironed out as we go through from Vista launch onwards. So if it's tough for the guys inside Microsoft, it's even tougher for the guys outside that don't have access to the same development resources that they do,
which makes it all the more impressive when you see the application in use. Is that, to an end user, the stuff we just talked the last 5 minutes is totally irrelevant, isn't it?
Yeah.
You just load the application, you just create your folders, move your files around, and it's done. It just works, and it's very simple. And even though it's a beta version, but you gave me the demo, and it just works and nice and simple.
Yeah, it didn't crash. It's good.
it removes the complexity away, doesn't it? I mean, that's a sign of a good user interface, I guess, isn't it? I've done applications, and you've got buttons all over the place and checkboxes and everything else, and you make it look complicated, and it's not the way forward, is it? But your application looks... when you're developing a Media Center application, I suppose you're not developing particularly for the techie enthusiast. You're developing for a wide range of audience, aren't you?
And in general, the people are enthusiasts, they're just not necessarily development enthusiasts.
But their families are not necessarily enthusiasts.
Indeed, yes. It's the thing that I'd never heard before Media Centre, which is the WAF,
yes.
The Wife Acceptance Factor.
And that is an unbelievably good test of things, isn't it, as well?
Well, I've got the WAF and the DAF on this in that case, because as I say, my daughter and my wife both use the application.
Yeah, which, like I said, it's very simple to use. We spent 20 minutes explaining it, but within about 2 or 3 seconds of going through it, then you can see what it does. You mentioned before, so the screenshot's over up on the green button on
yep.
the threads, and the download is available via your website.
Yeah, and the URL for that will be on after the show.
I'll include the links in that for show notes. I mean, it's a great application. I'm really looking forward to seeing how it progresses, and it's also good to have a UK developer working on the Media Centre stuff as well.
Yes.
Well, many thanks for your time today, Andrew. It's been great talking to you and great meeting up with you, and I'm looking forward to seeing how the application develops.
Thank you.
Okay, that's it for this week. Thanks to Andrew. Don't forget to check out the video of the UX one. I do like doing the video reviews. They take a lot more time to do than you think, actually, but it was nice, and thanks to Sony for sending that unit over. And look out for the XL301 video coming soon, and hopefully should get some more gear in here to do some tests with. The email address for the show is in@thedigitallifestyle.com. The show is taking a 1 week break next week, so I'll be back the week after. It's a bank holiday in the UK, and lots of things to do with the family, and I'm going to be off, which is motor racing. So I'll see you the week after. Bye.